La 7100...
The 7137th meeting of the Security Council is called to order. The provisional agenda for this meeting is the situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The agenda is adopted. In accordance with Article 37 of the Rules of Procedure of the Council, I invite the representative of the Democratic Republic of Congo to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. In accordance with Rule 39 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite Mr. Martin Kubler, Special Representative of the Secretary General and head of the mission of the United Nations Mission for the Stabilization in Democratic Republic of Congo, to participate in this meeting. It is thus decided. In accordance with Rule 39 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite Madam Mary Robinson, Special Envoy of the Secretary General for the Great Lakes Region, to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. On behalf of the Council, I would like to welcome Madam Robinson, who is participating in our meeting today by video conference from London. The Security Council will now address item 2 of its agenda. I would call the attention of members of the Council to the Secretary General's report on the implementation of the Peace, Security, and Cooperation Framework for the Democratic Republic of the Congo and the region, published in document S-2014-153. I would also wish to call the attention of Council members to the Secretary General's report on the United Nations Organization Stabilization Mission in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. This document is published under S-2014-157. I now give the floor to Mr. Martin Kubler.
Bien, Madame la Présidente.
Thank you, Madam President. Distinguished members of the Security Council, I'd like to start by congratulating Luxembourg on its presidency of this council over the month of March. There was hope in 2013, which began to materialize for the Congolese people. And today, I am here seeking your support. Your support that to renew the mandate in order to carry this mission to its end. And this is an opportunity to look at the effectiveness of MONUSCO and especially the military component of it. Since 2013, we have accomplished a great deal. Military defeat of the military M23, the FDLR, and allied forces, ADLF, and have been defeated, and we have secured the territory therein, all of which contribute to promoting stability and gradually reducing their authority and promoting state authority in the eastern part of the country. We need to now consolidate our gains acquired through securitization of zones where armed groups are still active. This is to prevent any backtracking. It's to set up boundaries and fences to protect and keep our peace with energy, persistence, and conviction.
Of the Security Council, there is a new momentum, and we have to build on it. Our robust protection stance and the hard-won stability are the foundation upon which peace can be built. Let me, at the outset, describe two events which symbolize where we stand. The first is a good barometer of the progress made, and the second illustrates that much remains to be done to bring peace and security to conflict-affected areas. Let me describe these events. Initially scheduled for September 2013, the Amani Music and Dance Festival for Peace eventually took place in February 2014, thanks to the return of peace to Goma. This festival was a perfect illustration of how culture is capable of bringing people together in peace. Over 11,000 Congolese and Rwandans sang and danced together. After the festival, I visited the so-called Triangle of Death in Katanga, I saw some of the 80 burnt and deserted villages. Mai Mai Bakata Katanga groups have been systematically burning down villages and terrorizing the population. Over 400,000 people have been displaced so far. I saw children just separated from these armed groups, their eyes glazed and empty, their parents killed. They had no home to return to. I decided to reinforce our presence in Katanga. Still, Katanga, just as the DRC, is a real paradox, very rich, but also troubled by extreme poverty. These two events illustrate the hope and the desperation, the chances and the challenges, the past and the future of the people of Congo. Madam President, on the eve of the adoption of a new mandate, MONUSCO's overriding priorities remain the same. Security and protection will be our first priority, followed by the stabilization of conflict-affected areas, and third, supporting reform processes and the implementation of the peace, security, and cooperation framework. MONUSCO cannot stay forever in the Congo. With your help, we have to speedily and consistently work together with our Congolese partners to bring about sustainable peace and start planning phasing out the mission. The move of much of our civilian personnel to the east is a first step. Thanks to intelligence fused from different sources, including unarmed unmanned aviation system, the so-called UAVs, ongoing sweeping operations have become better targeted against the FDLR. We have been very clear to them, surrender now or you will face full force. The government, too, has stepped up his efforts to put an end to the threat the FDLR poses to the population, and I am confident it will not stop until they lay down their weapons. Together, we have continued our military operations against the FDLR. After the ADF attacks in December, during which 21 civilians were killed, including 11 babies and young children, the Congolese army launched large-scale operations against ADF positions. With the support of the force, the FARDC destroyed the main ADF headquarters, cleared the main axes and routes, and are now undertaking operations to flush out remaining pockets of ADF resistance. Madam President, to bring our mission to a good end, the force, however, has to modernize. 14 years of static approach to the protection of civilians has proven insufficient. The force needs to be robust, flexible, versatile, highly mobile, and well-trained, and fully able to deploy across the whole of Eastern DRC, holding key areas and operating deep into the most inaccessible areas. We need a more active presence in Ituri, South Kivu, and Katanga. If we are to enhance our ability to effectively deal with armed groups, the force as a whole has to tirelessly pursue them. To that end, the force is reducing part of its long-term static site and operating bases and is focusing on the use of mobile forces. The recent redeployment of Egyptian special forces to Katanga and the Uruguayan reaction to the attack of Cheka and Pinga in January demonstrated how a proactive approach can deter attacks on civilians and how all force components and units can work together in a combined approach. Our motto says it all: one mandate, one mission, one force. Madam President, nonetheless, the use of force is not a means in itself. It is guided by one important principle: politics first. We always strive for a peaceful and voluntary solution. The use of force alone will not achieve sustainable results if not embedded in a political framework. The military success over the M23 will not be durable if the Nairobi declarations are not implemented and the ex-combatants now in Uganda and Rwanda are not speedily integrated into society. I welcome the recently adopted amnesty law, which rightly precludes perpetrators of gross human rights violations. The government of the Democratic Republic of Congo, however, needs to take rapidly concrete steps to ensure implementation of the National Program for Disarmament, Demobilization and Reintegration, DDR. I urge both the international community and the government to find solutions as to the structure and financing of the DDR process. I cannot but overestimate the importance of adequate civilian follow-up actions. Without those, the military gains will prove to be ephemeral. Given that we cannot tolerate any rollback or any undermining of what has been achieved so far, failure to rapidly implement the DDR plan would be a serious setback. We cannot allow this to happen. Since my last briefing to the Security Council, sexual violence against young girls and women has continued to be a problem. The mission maintains zero tolerance for sexual terrorism, and MONUSCO, together with the Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights, will publish a thematic report on the fight against impunity for sexual violence in the coming days. We remain engaged in fighting against impunity. The trial of those suspected of involvement in the Minova case resumed after interruption. The military court has so far heard 60 testimonies from victims of rape and other human rights violations. In support of Congolese military justice, MONUSCO continued to provide technical and logistic support. There is also zero tolerance for recruiting child soldiers. Since mid-December, 268 children were removed from the ranks of armed groups that surrendered to the Congolese army. The youngest was a 10-year-old boy. Madam President, our second priority, the stabilization of freed areas, should lead to the restoration of state authority. The concept of islands of stability was a direct answer to quickly embed state authority in post-conflict territories. In my last briefing, I could not report that children were going to school or that administration was functioning in areas liberated from M23. Now, I can. I'm pleased to report that in Kivancha Rujuru, the advances have been quite impressive. Police units have been deployed, supported by UNPOL, with tents, rations, fuel. The territorial administrator, civil servants have returned, and MONUSCO and the country team are developing projects to rehabilitate police, justice, and administrative buildings. The prison of Rutshuru has reopened and its personnel was trained by MONUSCO. Ownership is crucial, and that's why I am glad that the North Kivu authorities identified 7 additional pilot projects to turn into islands of stability. But despite this progress, daunting difficulties remain before we can speak of delivery of full basic public services to people in the region. Though hampered by poor logistics and irregular salary payment to civil servants, the local government needs to be practical and focus on what can make a difference to the people. To better support the government where it is most needed, the mission is undergoing its transformation into a field mission. We move to the east. 2/3 of all substantive staff in Kinshasa are being deployed to reinforce existing field offices in support of our operations in the east. We have established a permanent civilian presence in Kivanja and this will be replicated in other areas. MONUSCO moves nearer to the very people it means to assist. The reconfiguration is not meant to prolong MONUSCO's stay in the DRC. On the contrary, it is a first step to an inevitable exit. Our third priority is encouraging the implementation of key reforms in the context of the peace, security, and cooperation framework. Continued robust military operations by the FARDC and MONUSCO, followed by stabilization efforts, need to be accompanied by consistent efforts to reform on the part of the government. In support of this government's reform plans, I have set up a coordination group at ambassadorial level in Kinshasa, aimed at harmonizing the positions of the donor community. This coordination group looks at 4 areas of overarching concern for the United Nations and international partners in the Democratic Republic of Congo: DDR, elections, security sector reform, and stabilization. Our messages are clear. DDR of former fighters has to happen now. Preparation for the elections have to start now. Concrete projects on progress on SSR has to be delivered now. I strongly encourage the government to accelerate implementation of key reforms and urge the donors to assist in financing these reforms. I'm particularly concerned by the slow pace of security sector reform. Despite President Kabila's emphasis in his address to the nation of 23rd of October that it was the priority of priorities. We need the Congolese army's rapid reaction force to ultimately take over from the Force Intervention Brigade. Early advances on police reform and justice reform have also suffered a setback because insufficient budgetary provisions, which in the long term prevents us to address impunity and poor governance. On the electoral front, the Independent National Electoral Commission presented the National Assembly with a draft roadmap calling for local, urban, and municipal elections in early 2015. It is important that its adoption be conducted in a transparent and inclusive manner. Through our good offices, we will continue to promote an inclusive dialogue with a view to creating an environment conducive to the holding of credible elections. Respecting the constitutional provisions regarding the elections, both in terms of procedure and calendar, must be upheld. I appeal to the international community to support the Congo on its path to democratic rule. Your support is crucial to safeguard proper democratic principles. Your support is crucial to guarantee a vote for every Congolese. Your support is crucial to avoid the errors of the past. I also call upon the opposition to participate in a constructive way and urge all political parties to sign the Code of Conduct. I remain concerned, however, by recent political developments preventing all political forces to freely move and campaign. I therefore urge the government to respect fundamental rights, such as freedom of speech, expression, and assembly to all political forces, protected by the Congolese constitution. I have instituted an electoral incidents task force to closely monitor the situation and will report regularly. Madam President, on 24th of February, we celebrated the first anniversary of the Peace, Security and Cooperation Framework. The Special Envoy of the Secretary General, Mary Robinson, with whom I continue to enjoy an excellent relationship, will go further into detail here on the implementation also of the national commitments. Madam President, after decades of conflict between neighboring countries, contacts at all levels of the region's governments indicate a new dynamic in the region. Mutual trust is fragile. Confidence building takes time. Still, investment in cross-border transport infrastructure and economic cooperation will pave the way to regional prosperity. First, I wish to thank the donor community for their financial contribution in helping us upgrading the Goma Airport. Turning Goma into an economic hub will boost economic development and foster regional cooperation. I leave it to Special Envoy Mary Robinson to elaborate on the current initiative to promote private entrepreneurship. Second, the natural resources of the Congo should be a source of prosperity, not poverty. I welcome the government's intent to increase public revenues from natural resources, legalizing and regulating the exportation, exploitation of minerals is addressing the root causes of the conflict. Madam President, distinguished members of the Council, despite many difficulties, I sense a spirit of dynamism and hope. This is certainly not a guarantee for success. This spirit, however, is an obligation for all of us in MONUSCO and in the country team to grasp the opportunity, maybe for the first time in many years, the opportunity to reach a durable solution. However, peace has a price tag. MONUSCO will reduce its budget. Over 300 posts will be cut. I am the first to criticize inefficiencies, reduce duplication, fine-tune management structures. Solid work, however, needs solid resources. Madame la Présidente, à la veille du...
Madam President, on the eve of the renewal of the MONUSCO's mandate, we look to the future hopefully but realistically. I am confident that when the songs of the Congolese youth have replaced the sound of the bullets, prosperity will be around the corner. I would like to thank all of the United Nations staff for their daily commitment in circumstances which are increasingly difficult. they who work for lasting peace in the DRC. And most specifically, on the 12th anniversary of Radio Okapi, let me express my heartfelt gratitude to all of the radio station's personnel for their work and commitment. Radio Okapi is a radio station unlike any other. It has become part of daily life for the Congolese and is often their only source of information. The sound waves contribute to unifying Congolese society. Madam President and distinguished members of the Security Council, once again, I would like to thank you for your support.
Je remercie Monsieur Kobler pour...
Thank Mr. Kobler for his briefing. I'd now like to give the floor to Madam Mary Robinson.
Thank you, Madam President, distinguished members of the Council. Thank you for this opportunity to brief you today from London and for the strong support given by the Security Council to efforts to bring durable peace and stability to the Democratic Republic of Congo and the region. Just 1 year after the signing of the Peace, Security and Cooperation Framework for the DRC and the region, I remain convinced that it offers the best prospects and hope for security and for the improvement of the living conditions of the people in the region who continue to bear the brunt of armed violence and aggression. Indeed, in the last year, hope has risen with the defeat of the M23 rebel movement, followed by the conclusion of the Kampala dialogue declarations between the parties. The FARDC, supported by MONUSCO and its Force Intervention Brigade, is pursuing its efforts to rid the east of the country of the armed groups. Furthermore, despite numerous challenges, hope for dialogue, trust and regional cooperation, the basis for peace and security, have appeared stronger in the last year. By collaborating on the regional benchmarks and building consensus on the plan of action for the implementation of the Peace, Security and Cooperation Framework, countries of the Great Lakes region have been able to show the possibilities of the framework of hope and that durable peace and security for the region can be within grasp if the current momentum is sustained. I should, however, stress that the situation in eastern DRC and the region remains quite precarious and would require actions at several levels to sustain the current momentum and to achieve meaningful results. Madam President, distinguished members of the Council, a good way to sustain the current momentum and to ensure that the Framework of Hope delivers on its promises is to align international actions with emerging positive regional dynamics, which reinforce the objectives of the Peace, Security and Cooperation Framework. Angola's current chairmanship of the International Conference on the Great Lakes region offers a good opportunity and holds significant prospects for advancing the cause of peace and stability in the region. At the last ICGLR summit in Luanda in January, President Dos Santos shared a vision for his tenure which complements the objectives of the Peace, Security and Cooperation Framework. In this regard, the President initiated a political dialogue with Presidents Kagame, Kabila, Museveni and Zuma on illegal armed groups such as the FDLR and ADF, during which they agreed on a plan to tackle the sources of insecurity in the DRC and the region. Amongst others, it was agreed that the military chiefs of staff of the five countries involved in the dialogue would come together and examine ways to support the DRC's plans to address the FDLR. I believe that a regional plan born out of dialogue holds good prospects, and I'm strongly encouraging President Dos Santos's political leadership to ensure coherence and be a rallying point for coordination of efforts in the region. My several meetings with President Dos Santos have been very encouraging, and I firmly believe that much progress can be achieved by Angola's lead of the ICGLR in the next 2 years. As I was saying earlier, the FARDC, supported by MONUSCO and its Force Intervention Brigade, are making significant progress in their operations against the ADF. Operations have now started against the FDLR, as you've heard. These are indeed important developments. They should, however, I believe, take into account the regional plan and the steps agreed in Luanda and align efforts for optimum results. It's my sincere hope that robust operations against FDLR elements that refuse to surrender would be vigorously sustained and concluded speedily. Those who surrender and that have not been involved in the genocide or other serious crimes should have the option to return to Rwanda in dignity through the established processes. President Kabila's commitments in Luanda to address the FDLR threat in a comprehensive manner by the end of the year and his government's ultimatum on the 24th of February to the FDLR, as well as the recent actions by the FARDC supported by MINUSCO and the Force Intervention Brigade, are very encouraging signs. Tackling the FDLR presence in eastern DRC should indeed go a long way to address Rwanda's concerns and ease tensions in the region. It would form the building block for trust and mutual confidence with multiplier effects to facilitate regional, economic and social cooperation. It would also facilitate efforts for the full restoration of state authority in the Kivu regions of eastern DRC. It's equally important as we move into the second year of implementation that we fast track the social and economic aspects of the peace, security and cooperation framework. As I've always said, peace cannot take root without tangible evidence on the ground that jobs and businesses are able to flourish, with people feeling a difference in their lives. Following the endorsement by the Regional Oversight Mechanism of the convening of a private sector investment conference for the region, I've been working together with my team with the ICGLR, the AU, the EU, the World Bank, UN agencies, and with a number of UN member states to actualise this conference before the end of this year. The conference will promote a shared understanding of the role of the private sector in advancing the economic pillar of the framework, inspire actionable policy recommendations for the consideration of decision makers, and create a venue for public and private stakeholders of the signatory countries to identify business and investment opportunities. It will also create a space for business leaders to forge relationships, expand their professional networks, and share experiences. My office will convene the conference jointly with the ICGLR, SADC and the African Union in close consultation with other UN agencies, countries of the region and with the support of the bilateral and multilateral institutions. The social and economic pillars of the PSC framework also recorded some achievements with the establishment of the Women's Platform for the PSC framework, which I had the privilege to help launch on the 28th of January in Addis Ababa during the AU summit. The ICGLR opened the regional training facility on sexual and gender-based violence in Kampala, Uganda, on the 16th of February for the training of security personnel in the region. Collaboration is ongoing with the ICGLR and other partners to operationalise these important mechanisms. My recent interactions with civil society organisations from across the region, which took place at Addis Ababa on the margins of the African Union January summit, and follow-up meetings both in the DRC and lately in The Hague during the International Contact Group meeting, have clearly revealed the readiness of this critical group to play an active role in the implementation of the framework. I look to council members to lend their support to all these initiatives, which would directly impact the lives of the people of the region. Relative progress has been achieved as well at national level since the endorsement of the Plan of Action for the implementation of the PSC framework. I commend President Kabila and the government of the DRC for promulgating the amnesty law in line with the Kampala dialogue declarations, which formally ended the conflict with the M23. I think we must all recognise that this was not an easy step for a government to take and that it was a sign of leadership that the government was determined that this had to be part of the process. This amnesty, as we know, will not be extended to those responsible for serious crimes and human rights violations. However, more actions are required to follow up, particularly on the repatriation from Uganda and Rwanda of former M23 combatants and the beginning of an effective DDR process for eligible members. During my recent visit in the region, I raised the issue of the former M23 combatants with the relevant authorities, and I am glad that some progress is being made in relation to the DDR, and there are active discussions with international partners. But this is a critical issue on which more progress needs to be made, as my colleague and friend Martin Kobler has emphasised. I continue to be engaged with Uganda Minister of Defence, Minister Kionga, and the ICGLR, a national oversight mechanism in the DRC, to fast-track the establishment of the follow-up mechanism as agreed under the Kampala Dialogue Declarations. Meanwhile, several critical issues remain that require urgent attention. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, more needs to be done to consolidate state authority throughout the country, to reform the security sector, and again I agree with Martin Kobler, this has to be more of a priority, particularly the army, and promote good governance, reconciliation, tolerance, and democratisation. While efforts are ongoing to align various national plans with the PSC framework for optimal results, the DRC National Oversight Mechanism needs to be further strengthened to efficiently carry out its mandate. During my recent visit to the DRC, I was pleased to learn from both Prime Minister Matata and the head of the National Oversight Mechanism, Francois Mwamba, that support to the mechanism and coordination with the government is improving. Madam President, distinguished members of the Council, despite the modest progress recorded in the past year, we still have a long way to go to achieve the objectives of the PSC framework. The security and humanitarian situation in Eastern DRC remains fragile. I would say remains unacceptable, because there is still not the security that particularly women and their families need. We must therefore find the means and courage to address all underlying causes of conflicts, promote reconciliation, and tackle the obstacles that impede the voluntary return of refugees in safety and in dignity. Furthermore, efforts should be geared towards working with the region to build trust, without which economic and social cooperation cannot thrive. While efforts should remain focused on stabilising Eastern DRC, we must equally be mindful of the impact of developments in the Central African Republic and South Sudan, also signatories to the framework, and indeed neighbours to the Democratic Republic of Congo. I'm very concerned, as I know members of the Council are, about continuing reports of gross violations of human rights in these countries, as well as the prevailing security situation. Recently, at a breakfast in Kinshasa, I met President Catherine Samba Panza, the interim president of the Central African Region Republic, on the 3rd of March. We spoke at length, and she informed me of the urgent need for additional capacity to be provided by the United Nations to support peacekeeping in her country, and requested that I bring this dire need to the attention of distinguished members of the Council today. In addition, and in a way that I think we need to pay attention to, the growing tensions in another signatory country, Burundi, are also quite worrisome. I'll travel to Bujumbura on the 19th of March to engage with the government and stakeholders in close coordination with SRSG Parfait Onanga Ayanga. Before travelling to Burundi, I will be in Goma on the 18th of March, 1 year to the day from when my mandate started, for an announcement and press conference about the Peace One Day of the 21st of September, which will be celebrated in the Democratic Republic of Congo this year. It will be an opportunity for the world, in a sense, to take stock of both the progress and the needs in the Democratic Republic of Congo. In the coming months, certain courses of action would be critical if further meaningful progress is to be achieved in the implementation of the PSC framework. At the national level, the DRC government needs to quickly implement the provisions of the Kampala Dialogue Declarations, including the administrative and technical steps to facilitate the repatriation of the almost 2,000 former M23 combatants who fled to Rwanda and Uganda last year. Further delay in this process could be costly to peace and regional stability. The National DDR programme also needs to gain immediate traction. It remains stalled due to the lack of an agreed approach and an agreed funding plan with the international partners. concrete actions in fair and independent courts would also be required against those who have committed serious violations of human rights and international crimes, and I welcome the proposal for the establishment of mixed courts. Madam President, distinguished members of the Council, while it's important to hold Member States accountable for the implementation of their commitments and to provide support in this regard, we mustn't fail to be guided by the fact that achieving peace and stability in the region will be an incremental process. The region would therefore require time as well as dedicated support to achieve the objectives of the Peace, Security and Cooperation Framework. More importantly, international engagements and messaging to member states must be strong, constant, well-coordinated and coherent for the desired results. So despite the other pressures, and I know they are very real, on members of the Security Council, I would plead for a continued strong support, as you have shown, strong and continued support for the DRC and the region. In the coming months, and with the kind support of the Council, I intend to continue my engagements with President Dos Santos and Foreign Minister Chakoti to seek further collaboration on the political dialogue among leaders of the region on sensitive issues. It's my sincere hope that beginning with the ongoing dialogue on illegal armed groups, this process would develop to include dialogue on other critical issues that would otherwise severely limit the achievement of the goals of the PSC framework. I shall also continue my efforts with the DRC government and support the ICGLR Secretariat's efforts to ensure the effective implementation and follow-up of the Kampala Dialogue declarations. I will, of course, continue to work closely with SRSG Martin Kobler, with whom, as he has also said, I have an excellent relationship. We work very closely together, and I think that is a strength, and we both understand the necessity to complement each other, but also work very closely together. I will also work increasingly with civil society, including women's groups, and with international partners, including the team of envoys who have also an excellent relationship, to assist the DRC government in accelerating the implementation of key national reforms, including security sector reform, consolidation of state authority throughout the country, national reconciliation and democratisation, particularly as we approach the next election cycle. Excellencies, let me conclude by a personal word regarding a special memorial event which is imminent, the 20th anniversary of the genocide that occurred in Rwanda. As I said to you during my first briefing to the Security Council as Special Envoy in May last year, I recall vividly my first visit to Rwanda after this tragic event, and the images of the atrocities remain indelible in my mind. As we commemorate the genocide, I'd like to encourage all of us to reflect deeply on the lessons learned from the past work together to ensure that the succeeding years, the next 20 years and well beyond in the Great Lakes region of Africa will be characterised by tolerance, peace, stability and development. Thank you very much.
Je remercie.
I thank Madam Robinson for that briefing. I'd now like to give the floor to members of the Council who would like to make a statement. I'd like to give the floor to the representative of Rwanda.
Thank you, Madam President. And I thank SRSG Kobler and SESG Robinson for taking the time to brief us today on the reports of the Secretary General and head of MONUSCO's mandate renewal. Madam President, as the Secretary General report highlights, despite the positive developments of late last year, it is clear that the momentum has slowed, with limited progress on both the political and the military fronts. We are looking at a volatile situation, security situation in not only the East, but throughout the country. Negative forces are still at rampage, killing and maiming, raping young girls and women, recruiting children, and causing thousands of displacements of civilians. The seriousness and scale of killings and violations that continue in Katanga and in areas formerly occupied by M23 in North Kivu are deeply troubling. A major reason for this is the prevalent culture of impunity that continues throughout the country. All perpetrators, whether from the FRDC, which has committed 18% of crimes reported in 2013, or any other armed group, must be brought to justice and held accountable for their crimes. There's no doubt that the next few months will be critical, and we need to take a serious look at how Resolution 2098 is being implemented, especially in the neutralization of negative armed groups, in the consolidation of the peace process, and in the protection of civilians in liberated areas. We welcome the reports presented by briefers on some members of some armed groups that have peacefully surrendered, and indeed, we applaud FRDC, supported by MONUSCO, for attacking and destroying a number of ADF camps. The resumption of the Minova trial is another positive development, and we look forward to a conclusive prosecution that can set a precedent for future cases. The recently promulgated amnesty law, as per Nairobi agreement, is also a positive step in national reconciliation, but one that will require measurable actions. We urge MONUSCO and the international community to closely monitor its implementation. Madam President, however, these positive developments should not obscure the fact that one of the oldest armed groups remains at large. As always, for the past 20 years, the problem that we have is the posture of the DRC government and the UN peacekeepers, currently MONUSCO, towards the threat posed by FDLR genocidal forces responsible for the genocide against the Tutsi. Throughout the last quarter of 2013, we were told that FDLR are next on the list of negative forces to be eliminated. So what happened from when the promise is made to the next briefing? No one knows. No accountability. At our last meeting on MONUSCO, the military operation plan presented to the Security Council was that FRDC was to go after ADF. They did it, and we applaud them. Following that, we were told that MONUSCO was to put their resources against FDLR. Nothing happened. Only a week or two before this briefing, do we hear in the news that there was a military operation against FDLR. The threat of FDLR persists despite the mandate of MONUSCO, which was given extra offensive capabilities after the deployment of the intervention brigade and the lack of MONUSCO to commit to fighting this force remains evident. Once again, it is high time we see a change of attitude of DRC government towards the FDLR. Rwanda has for several years expressed legitimate concerns with the lack of political will of the government of DRC to tackle the threat of the FDLR. Various UNSC reports have detailed evidence of all kinds of support given to FDLR by DRC and Rwanda has even provided more. The continuous excuses given by MONUSCO again and again when it comes to conducting military operations against FDLR is kind of disturbing. When it is not excuses of lack of intelligence, and which Rwanda did share with MONUSCO, it is engaged in propaganda operations to hoodwink the UNSC about military operations with FRDC against FDLR. On 9th March 2014, MONUSCO FIB jointly with FRDC raided FDLR illegal roadblock along Karengera-Tongo Road. Reliable information reveals that Colonel Ramadan, acting FRDC commander of the 8th Military Region, leaked information of the impending FIB attack on FDLR, hence undermining this operation. Madam President, let me just add that it is not only Rwanda expressing frustration over inaction against negative forces. The countries of the region under ICGLR have expressed frustration of the lack of political will by MONUSCO to address the threats of armed groups in the Great Lakes region. East DRC has been host to domestic and foreign armed groups, particularly M23, FDLR, and ADF NALU. As a result, ICGLR came up with detailed mechanisms to address the situation, including political and military measures. Some of these mechanisms have been taken over by UN, including intervention brigade under MONUSCO, and yet the major threat posed by FDLR has not been tackled. This was again subject of ICGLR heads of state summit in Luanda, Angola on 15th January 2014, where the chiefs of defense staff of Angola, DRC, Rwanda, Uganda, and South Africa were again tasked to assess the situation and come up with new mechanisms of eradicating FDLR. On the FDLR current situation, let me briefly share with you some updates on the FDLR activities. The FDLR strength is estimated to 3,640 with infantry integral weapons. This strength is likely to increase due to ongoing recruitment and training. Currently, FDLR is engaged in the following activities. A, on enhancing collaboration with FRDC, especially at operational level. This has enabled FDLR to refit, rearm, share intelligence, have freedom of action, and free passage for infiltration and terror attacks in Rwanda. Since July 2013 to date, 42 FDLR infiltrators, terror elements, have been arrested and undergoing prosecution in Rwandan courts. B, on mobilization recruitment, training, and establishment of terror networks in Rwanda. These activities are facilitated by provision of safe passage and logistics by FRDC. C, the recent claim by MONUSCO that FDLR is located in populated areas is just a sheer lie. Instead, the outfit has most of its forward units in Virunga National Park in North Kivu Province. It also maintains its dispositions in unpopulated areas of Mwenga and Uvira territories in South Kivu. And on illegal mining and taxation in Eastern DRC to sustain the war effort. Madam President, I would also like to discuss on a different issue of M23 ex-combatant. While the SG report suggests that consultations on the unresolved issue of the ex-combatants in Rwanda are ongoing, we remind this council that these combatants have been in Rwanda since March 2013. It's almost a year. The government of Rwanda has done everything required by international law to contain this group, including relocating them to Ngoma district in Eastern Province, approximately 250 kilometers from the DRC border. But despite our repeated calls for international community to take over responsibility, not much has been done. And there were some contacts
which were initiated in December, but it's really not that much. On the report of the PAC framework, I will not dwell much on that since the implementation of the PACA will be discussed on 27th of this month in Nairobi. To conclude, Madam President, as we have said previously, next month marks the 20th commemoration of the genocide against the Tutsi. And there could be no greater symbol of justice for its victims than the defeat and eradication of FDLR once for all. A virulent genocidal force that has been allowed to terrorize the region for the past two decades. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the representative of Rwanda for that statement. And I now give the floor to the representative of the Democratic Republic of Congo. You have the floor, sir.
Madame la Présidente.
Madam President. As I begin my statement, I would just like to convey how pleased we are to see you presiding the Security Council for this month. Indeed, your country, Luxembourg, is one with which the Democratic Republic of Congo enjoys high-quality security relations and reciprocal respect. I'd like to take this opportunity to hail your predecessor, the distinguished representative of Lithuania. I'd like to thank her for her commitment and skill with which she headed the council over the past month. This is also a time for me to convey to the Security Council the gratitude of the people and government of the Democratic Republic of Congo for the United Nations efforts in upholding the sovereignty and territorial integrity of our country to ensure peace and stability. Finally, I'd like to pay tribute to Mr. Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations, who has worked tirelessly for building peace in my country. This bears witness to his personal commitment in bringing together the heads of the region of the Great Lakes and South Africa in signing the Peace and Security Framework Agreement in the Democratic Republic of Congo and the region. This agreement was concluded in Addis Ababa on 24 February 2013. Madam President, members of the Council, my delegation has taken note of the Secretary General's report on the implementation of the Peace and Security Framework Agreement in the Democratic Republic of Congo and in the region. That is document S-2014-153, as well as of the Secretary General's report of the United Nations Mission for the Stabilization of the Democratic Republic of Congo, or MINUSCO, document S-2014-157, which the Council is currently discussing. My delegation is pleased to note that these two reports unanimously acknowledge the efforts of my country in upholding its commitments under the PSC Framework Agreement. For my country, the implementation of the Framework Agreement, which for the first time provides for a sustainable peace in the east of the country and peaceful cohabitation between the inhabitants of the country and its neighbors, should be underscored. This agreement and Resolution 2098, which strengthens the agreement, are major innovations in the areas of stemming the crisis, which has been rampant in the Great Lakes region since the 80s, as well as in strengthening the United Nations doctrine for the maintenance of peace, or peacekeeping. for the long-time suffering people of the region, the framework agreement and the resolution are striking proof of the determination of the international community to find a lasting solution to the instability which has lasted far too long, which has weighed heavily on my country. Along these lines, my delegation would like to endorse the appeal launched by the heads of state and government of the signatory countries of the PSC during the high-level meeting of the regional mechanism. Follow-up mechanism, which took place in Addis Ababa on 31 January 2014. In this appeal, they called upon the countries of the region to cooperate and undertake necessary measures to neutralize armed groups, combat impunity for war crimes, crimes against humanity, sexual violence in times of conflict, and other out-and-out violations of human rights, as well as to undertake appropriate actions against those subject to the UN sanctions regime. Madam President, the DRC is determined to shoulder its responsibilities to ensure that peace and agreement come back to the region. Along these lines, as soon as the PSC was signed, the Congolese government has undertaken to fulfill its obligations. Here, it continues its commitments so as to conclude the SSR, improve the staff of the army, security and police services, the recruitment of the defense forces of the Congolese youth from all provinces, reopening military academies, training with the contribution of bilateral partners, of special forces and support units. Here, the primary goal is making operational the rapid reaction force. All of these are specific activities which have already begun, which the government will be bolstering so as to make the defense of our country more effective and guarantee the authority of state. As stressed by the Secretary General in his two reports, the President of the Republic, His Excellency Joseph Kabila Kabange, voted into action on 11 February 2014 the amnesty law for rebellion, war, and political crimes committed in the DRC between 18 February 2006 and 20 December 2013, 1 month ago. After his statement before the lower house of the parliament, the president of the Independent National Electoral Commission met with political parties and political groups. This meeting marked the launching of the electoral cycle 2014-2016 and led to the unanimous adoption of a new code of conduct for political parties and candidates. On 10 February 2014, the code had been signed by 233 political parties. In the framework of DDR, I'd like to recall that on 26 December 2013, the Council of Ministers adopted the third national DDR plan. The identification of combatants of armed groups in North Kivu, regrouped in Biruwema and Karanchinga, has been concluded. Those who are eligible for DDR-3 will be swiftly evacuated to vetting centers for DDR operations. At that time, the evacuation to the Kitono vetting center for Bataka Kantanga ex-combatants who have fulfilled conditions is ongoing. Moreover, as announced by the President of the Republic in his statement, his address to the nation on 31 December 2013, the decentralization process will indeed begin its executive phase with the establishment of a new government and the those of provinces, financial services for central administration in the provinces, as well as the establishment of a national fund for equalization. Madam President, we know that after the defeat of the M23, the President of the Republic, the force commander of the armed forces of the DRC, ordered the disarmament of all armed groups, be they national or foreign, across the country who refused to respond to the offer of voluntary disarmament. In the theater of operations, the hunt for dispersed rebels began with the launching of the pacification campaign in the east of the country by the armed forces of Congo on 16 January 2014. Operations are successful or satisfactory in North Kivu against the ADF, in the southern part of this province, as well as in South Kivu against the Rwandan rebels of the FDLR. It is through this prism that Mr. Martin Kobler recently welcomed the operations of the FDRDC against the FDLR and the armed groups and announced the support of MONUSCO to the Congolese army to neutralize the FDLR. As stated by the Speaker of the government during his press conference on March 2014, Mr. Kobler also requested in a communique to rebels of the FDLR to stop support immediately to their leaders prosecuted by justice, or prepare to be disarmed by force. Along these same lines, to take up the idea expressed on 26 February to the American Senate by the Special Envoy of the United States in the Great Lakes region, countries hosting elements of the M23, if they do not extradite them to the DRC and international justice, have the primary responsibility, in line with the framework agreement, to ensure that these individuals not take up their hostile activities once again. Now, regarding the activities of the FDLR and the comments of the ambassador of Rwanda, during the last meeting, the DRC... on the DRC, you highlighted the efforts made in the hunt in the past conducted with the government of Rwanda. And then these efforts were continued by my government. Alone. And with the contribution of MONUSCO after. These efforts were interrupted, and we have always said this to you. These efforts were interrupted following the M23 rebellion. As I just stated, now that the M23 rebellion has been put down, the Democratic Republic of Congo, which has requested the council establish the intervention brigade. The intervention brigade was established upon request of the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the brigade has the mandate from the council to eradicate all the negative forces in the region, as well as the various armed groups. This work, as I've said, Mr. Martin Kobler is law, and he said this too, this work has begun. So, the government of the Democratic Republic of Congo has remained consistent, has no interest in supporting the FDLR, because since the Rwandan genocide, and that the FDLR came to the Congo, and you know that the FDLR did not come to the DRC upon request of the DRC. It's because the DRC... It's not that the DRC... It's not because the DRC was hoping to host those who were fleeing the genocide. It's not for that reason that the FDLR came to the DRC. But today it's a problem for our country because our country is constantly having to deal with this. But actually, if the FDLR is in the DRC, this is a problem, yes. It's the DRC suffering from it because these individuals, since they are on our territory, the people they're killing are Congolese. Congolese women are raped. Congolese villages burned. We are the ones suffering from the FDLR. Unless totally cynical, that a government whose people is suffering How could a government support these type of criminals? No. I said this last time. There wasn't an ambassador. As you know, he's spoken about the commemoration of the genocide, but he shouldn't be cynical regarding the Congolese people who are suffering. In the east of my country, we've lost more than 6 million individuals who've died, lost their lives. And I said this last time. And if the DRC was sympathetic to the Rwandan genocide, well, then Rwanda could help us regarding the 6 million people who've died in the east of the country. No, let us not make fun of the Congolese people. The Congolese government has no interest, no reason to be supporting the FDLR. Mr. Cobbler works in the region. And he can attest. Yesterday, you knew that. When the experts distributed the report, what were the accusations of Rwanda? Denouncing the experts' report. They were also denouncing MINUSCO. They said that MINUSCO was cooperating with the FDLR. No, I think this is bad faith. Because Rwanda is hanging on to this element, which is allowing it to destabilize the DRC. It's a pretext, and they know that if today you take away that pretext, then there's no more any reason to be on the in the DRC and to do what is being done. So I would launch an appeal to the international community, to all members of the Security Council. Please help us to resolve this situation. My country is innocent here and cannot tolerate being accused gratuitously. Madam President, in conclusion, the renewal of MINUSCO. Should be undertaken along the lines of Paragraphs 9, 10, 11, and 12 of Resolution 2098 of 28 March 2013. This is where your council, and amongst other things, decided to continue and conclude, thanks to the Intervention Brigade, the mission of neutralizing armed groups in line with little b of Para 12 of 2098. This would weaken the threat of armed groups against the authority of state and the security of civilians in the east of the DRC. It would also pave the way for stabilization activities. Here, I would like to thank MINUSCO and the Intervention Brigade, as well as the countries involved in it. I'd like to hail them for the high-quality work undertaken during this concluding mandate. The work of the brigade with the armed forces of the DRC led to the defeat of the M23. This was highly appreciated by the Congolese people. For my government, the second mandate of the Intervention Brigade, which will begin soon, will be the crowning of efforts already begun to bring peace to the DRC and the whole Great Lakes region. As the President of the Republic, His Excellency Mr. Joseph Kabila Kabange, stated during the ceremony of the framework signing, agreement signing, and I quote, "It is time, more than time, that we guarantee to our people the right to life and the enjoyment of the most precious boon which they expect from their leaders, chiefly peace. Not the peace of rifles, much less that of cemeteries, false and ephemeral, but rather peace which comes from the acknowledgement of a shared destiny, the desire to live together, the responsible solution of problems, the upholding of rules and principles, and in particular those which we've included in the PSC framework. This peace is difficult to achieve, but it's the only one which can resist the ravages of time and the randomness of history. It's impossible without the sincerity of players and can only be built in truth. Truth. The truth is that however many times attacked, the DRC is a country of peace which has always upheld the territorial integrity and sovereignty of all its neighbors. And this will always be the case." End quote. Madam President, ladies and gentlemen, members of the Council, in conclusion, allow me to take this opportunity to hail the presence of the Special Representative of the Secretary General in the DRC, Mr. Martin Kobler. I'd like to thank him for his dynamism in MONUSCO and in the theater of operations. I'd also like to thank Her Excellency, Madam Mary Robinson, the Special Envoy of the Secretary General for the Great Lakes Region, for her commitment and efforts to reinstate lasting peace in the Democratic Republic of Congo and in the Great Lakes Region. Thank you very much.
I thank the representative of the Democratic Republic of Congo for that statement. The representative of Rwanda has asked for the floor for another statement. I give it to him. You have the floor, sir.
Je ne vais pas abuser de votre...
Madam President, I won't abuse of your time. Just wanted to make a small correction here. You'll understand, no doubt, why. I'm Rwandan. I wouldn't say it otherwise. Mr. Ambassador, dear colleague from Congo, we did not celebrate the genocide of Rwanda. I know that the language of Molière and Voltaire is not our language, but what we will do on the 7th of April is to commemorate or mark the 20th anniversary of the genocide. But we will not be celebrating it. Thank you.
Je remercie le représentant du Rwanda pour sa déclaration. Il n'y a plus de...
Thank you, Rwanda, for that statement. No more speakers on my list. The ambassador, representative of DRC would like to make another statement. You have the floor, sir. Thank you very much, Madam President. I appreciate the correction of the ambassador from Rwanda. Commemoration, it's a commemoration, an event in which we will all be participating. It's a sad event that we will be marking, and one we cannot accept. I would also like to take this opportunity to say that there is no culture of impunity in the DRC. I think that what we're saying before this rostrum should include a minimum of respect vis-a-vis the authorities of our country. And I think I said this last time. The ambassador of Rwanda should learn to respect other countries, respect us, respect the authorities of my country. This kind of language is unacceptable to us. And as I said, the fact that he's a member of the council does not authorize him to do certain things. He has no right to that. I believe, to respond to everything that he said. I would say that he is offending my country, and I would invite him to please show respect for my country and for the authorities of my country. Thank you very much, Madam President.
Je remercie le représentant.
I thank the representative of the Democratic Republic of Congo for that statement. There are no more speakers on my list. I now invite members of the Council to continue consideration of this item in the context of consultations. The session is adjourned.